Advertising on the BBC, but how?
Well, each ad would be designed to fit in with the programmes around it. For instance, before Listen with Mother, we'd advertise gripe water and teething rings. After Jimmy Young, indigestion powder. Now, listen to these.
Get away, people. Use Cenopods.
Want to look 12 pounds lighter?
Yes, how?
Get your gear off.
And what programme could possibly follow dreadful advertisements like that?
There are no prizes for the answer. It's Round the Horn. Round the Horn.
Hello and welcome to the show. First, an apology for a misprint in this week's Radio Times. In Sunday's choral recital, the singers should have been named as the Treadwellian Male Voice Choir and not the Mole Vice Choir. They produce an entirely different sound. Well, our old friends, the over-80s nudist leapfrog team, are in the news again. Apparently, they're getting ready for the first nudist Olympic Games, which will be held in Chile. That's bad luck to start with, isn't it? Be the usual events, the high hurdles, hop, step and jump, pole vault, weightlifting. And I understand there's a record entry for the marathon, and I, for one, can't wait to see them come swinging into the stadium. Now, the disadvantages of nudist Olympics are that in the opening parade, it's hard to tell which country is which. And that even if you do win a medal, there's nowhere to pin it. But I'm sure you'll join me in wishing them good luck. Smith,
sir.
Now stop fiddling with your executive toy and announce the next item.
Yes, now, the Round the Horn Forum of the Air, where people phone in with their problems.
And I failed to cope with them. Ah, the first call now. Hello, Horn here. Hello, Gruntfutter?
Yes.
Are you alone?
No. Hold on, there's someone on my extension. Get off. Go on, get off. Sling your hook. Get off.
Ah, that's better. Now then. Now then, what's your problem?
My private discourses are being interfered with.
Well, it's hard to tell whether you're boasting or complaining.
You do not grasp my meaning. I cannot put up with it any longer.
Well, what's the matter?
I'm being bugged.
Are you?
Yes, people listening to my phone conversations. I'm being tapped and bugged. Tapped and bugged I am. I'm at the end of me tether.
Well, is that your only problem?
No, my main concern is to do with ancient lights.
Ancient lights?
Yes, I want to modernise so I can get a better view of the nurse's hostel.
Hello?
Hello. I'm six.
We'd never get away with this on television. So you're six. Well, how nice. Now, what's your problem?
I'm staying in a hotel, and our room's on the top floor. And I get in the lift and ride to the third floor, and then I have to get out and walk the rest of the way.
Well, that must be a long way for a little girl to walk. Why don't you take the lift right up to the top?
I can't reach the button.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
You're going to have to turn your stomach over.
Well, now, with her jumbuck akimbo and her billabong at a rakish angle, direct from the outback of Cromwell Road, here is Miss Judy Coolibar.
Hello, Colby.
And good to have you back.
What do you mean by that?
Nothing. Just extending the hand of friendship.
Yeah? With what purpose in mind, might I ask? I'll tell you. To lull me into a sense of false security so that you can work your evil desires upon me.
Well, nothing of the kind, I assure you.
Oh, satiated, are you?
Not at all. Oh, dear, it seems awfully hard to get through to you.
Too right, sport.
Look at this cover. Third finger, left hand. Do you know what it is?
A hangnail?
No, sport. It's an engagement ring.
Oh.
I met him on Anzac Day. It was love at first sight. Our eyes met across the crowded bar. He come over to me and straight away put the hard word on. Frankly, I thought he was Adrian because he'd been knocking back the steam. Ah, but Mr. Horn, my heart melted. My defences were down. Oh, I knew I was in love.
How charming.
Would you like to meet him?
Yes, I'd love to.
Oh, I am, it's your great pommy faggot. Come out of the dunny. I want you to meet a friend.
And if our Australian friends are listening, could we have some more phrases, please? We're running a bit short. talking of running a bit short, we've found there's no better way of padding it out than introducing a song. And this week, Mr. Gruntfutig has joined us in the studio.
Yes,
now, I believe you've got something for us, haven't you?
Yes, a nice little number. It gets a bit dicey on your Alan Tando.
Ah.
Thank you, Alice. Thank you. I think me job is a dull one. I'm a greengrocer, what is on wheels? But I wouldn't swap with a bloke in the shop. What I serve makes much better meals. I've learnt quite a lot as I push round the street, selling the old-fashioned way. They tell me they'd miss me if they didn't see me coming around every day. I'm out with me barra on the streets all day, hawking me greens about. Nice cauliflowers, you can't beat ours. You can hear me shout, I'm here, girls, nice French bean. Curly little greens and me spuds all nice and brown. And if you boil them half an hour, they're like a bowl of flour. And me rhubarb is the best in all the town. I don't sell no rubbish on me barra, and I don't serve it in no fancy pack. But they takes what they want and they pays when they can, and I don't have them bring nothing back. I know all me customers, their trouble and strife. I know all their hopes and their fears. I ain't missed a day of me round all me life. I've served them for 35 years.
How long?
35 years. I'm out with me bar on the streets all day, hawking me greens about. Nice cauliflowers, you can't beat ours. You can hear me shout, I'm here, girls, nice French beans. Curly little greens and me spuds all nice and brown. And if you boil them half an hour, they're like a bowl of flour. And me rhubarb is, me rhubarb is, me rhubarb is the best.
Oh, dear. Cacciatorean never thought it'd be sung like that, I'm sure. Which brings us to the Movie Go Wrong series. Forward, Smith.
Sir, Hornographic Productions, in association with Finnegan's four-star Sump Oil, the aperitif of the smart set, present a story of the young prince who led the Jacobite Rebellion, starring Kenneth Williams as...
Prince Charlie.
/1745. My name is Hamish MacGropesporan. I'm a simple Scottish crofter. I breed bagpipes for a living. Well, I said I was simple. I was eating my heather sandwiches in the field one day when a horse galloped up.
The prince has landed in Scotland. He's coming this way.
I was astonished by this. I'd never heard a horse talk before.
Oh, it's not the horse, you fool. It's me on the back of it. Do you know, recognize the flaming red beard and the hairy legs?
Oh, of course, yes. How are you, Auntie?
I'm fine.
Even as Auntie spoke, a lone regal figure appeared over the hill. The Hope of Scotland, leader of the clans, a man who struck fear into the heart of every Sassenach.
No, here. Here. No, don't be like that. I am the young pretender, Charlie. People call me Bonnie on account of this long skirt, the berry and the machine gun. No, here. I've travelled far to seek the throne.
It's just across the yard. Have no fear, my prince. Every man in Scotland will follow you.
I'd rather they didn't.
That night, the prince slept under my roof while I wasn't having him in my bedroom. The following morning, I prepared a special treat for breakfast. Good morning, sire. Would you like a little grouse?
Yes, I would. I've had a shocking night on that raft. No fun up there, I tell you, with the wind whistling up your lum.
Translator's note, lum is the Scottish word for chimney.
Nice. What I need is a drop of the hard stuff. Have you got any?
Yes, of course I have. I gave him a lump of frozen porridge.
Thank you. Yeah. The clans must all be told I'm arrived in Scotland. Here, take this and spread it throughout the glen.
What is it? Is your message of hope?
No, it's your rotten lump of frozen porridge.
The leaders of the clans came from far and wide. The meeting was to be held in the Grand Hall of the McWomen's Institute. And first to speak was Angus McSpray.
Fellow Scotsmen, I speak sincerely when I say that Scotland's prince should have our support in his struggle to seize the sovereignty of this island.
Strong men turned away as he spoke.
Shall we stand aside like mice, or shall we rise against the Sassenachs and restore a Stuart to the throne of his ancestors?
When he'd finished, there wasn't a dry eye in the hall. In fact, there wasn't a dry anything. Then leader after leader stood up to pledge his support. The MacLeods, the MacBorbies, every clan supported him. The prince was visibly touched. But in that crowd, there wasn't much he could do about it.
Friends, I came to Scotland for only one reason. I got on the wrong boat. But now I have your support. To arms!
The scene shifts to sometime later in London. Queen Caroline is in conference. It should have been King George, but Betty Marsden couldn't manage it. So she's playing it as Elizabeth Taylor. She's speaking to her trusted advisor, the Duke of Cumberland.
Duke, not duck.
Oh, sorry. It's a mistake anyone could make, especially the way you walk.
Now, look, Cumby, the way I see it is this. Jacobite-wise, we've brought a lot of grief. Bonnie Charlie's campaign is going over big. North of the border, he's topping the Tam O'Shanter ratings. It's gotta stop.
Well, what do you suggest, Your Highness?
I suggest you advance and stand against them.
If you say so, ma'am.
Not me, you fool. The enemy. I don't know, though.
Meanwhile, the young pretender had marched into England at the head of his army.
At this point, it should be placed on record that I, Douglas Smith, of 10 o'clock news fame, play England. I am a precious jewel set in a silver sea. The Scottish border runs alongside of me, but she's wasting her time.
Good for you, Smith.
Thank you, sir.
None at all.
Many men have tried to conquer me, none have succeeded. With the exception of a certain Norman, but that was long ago. Anyway, I certainly shan't surrender to the likes of Mr. Williams.
I see about that. Forward, men, into battle!
He won at Carlisle, he won at Manchester, but he could only manage to draw Derby County. Even after extra time. That was the start of the trouble. Sire, the men are beginning to grumble about the food. Listen.
Rhubarb, 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 rhubarb.
Why can't we have porridge instead?
I don't don't know what they're complaining about. Rhubarb is the best thing in the world for a regular army.
Possibly, but they're all deserting. Our ranks are thinning out.
How many have we got left?
Well, counting the advance guard, the right flank, the left flank, the centre battalions, the rear guard and the auxiliaries, we've got two. That's you and me. Oh, and a few camp followers.
Ooh! Well, they're not much good to anybody. Oh, I am undone, Amos! I am undone! Oh, yes! What am I going to do? Well,
that's what's worrying me. I hear the Duke of Cumberland is planning to march against us. There may be a battle, and who knows what the outcome will be. Ooh.
I yield! I've done my best and thought bravely for many hours, but now I give in to superior strength. I'll do anything you say.
That's more like it, Cumby. But it'll have to be later. It's time you went to rid England of this pretender.
Meanwhile, Charlie was retreating north. He marched by the way of Carlisle, crossed the border and stopped to invest sterling. He took his profit in dollars and hired another army. The scene was set for the bloody battle at Culloden.
And it's a bright sunny day here at Culloden. The Duke of Cumberland has won the toss, and he's setting his field infantrymen at Silly Midon, cannon in slips and cavalry in the gully. And here come the Scotsmen.
It was an inspiring sight. 5,000 kilted Scotsmen rushing through the tall thistles, screaming.
If that doesn't work, turn your back and charge.
It's an old Scottish trick, reversing the charges. But this time it didn't work. Cumberland led his men forward. The smell of powder hung over the battlefield.
Well, I can't bear a shiny nose. Forward, men! Show no mercy! After this, I shall be known as the Butcher of Culloden.
I have to play a lot butcher than that.
It was obvious that the battle was lost. Men were falling wounded on all sides. I myself was shot in the gorse.
Nasty. Come on, Amos, don't just lie there. Tuck your ski and do in the top of your stocking and we'll run for it.
Oh, hello, Mr. Gruntfuddock again.
You don't know, I'm the young pretender, you fool. Pull yourself together, we're on the run from the English.
Oh, sorry, yes. Flora McHaggis will hide us. This is her cottage.
You rang?
No. No, it was the bell. Oh, dear, reversing the charges.
My friend is wounded and delirious, as you can tell from the last joke. Floor, is there a doctor here?
Aye. I'll call him. Dr. Cameron!
Bide your time while I finish this bowl of nourishing soup. Now then, let's have a look at you. Have you kept up your antenatal exercises?
No.
Why not?
Well, I'm not having a baby.
There's no reason to disregard your health. Take these. I want you to swallow one 3 times a day.
He handed me a pack of lies and left. The loyal Flora hid us in our cottage for many days. Then came that fateful knock on the door.
Open in the name of King George!
It's Redcoats. Not a sound. Or they'll have us entering a knobbly knees contest or something. Shh. I'll open the door and divert their suspicions. I hadn't seen him. He isn't here. What makes you think he's here? He isn't, I tell you. I swear it. He isn't here. Why should he be here? He positively is not here. Definitely not. Without a shadow of doubt, he is not here.
There's a reward of £30,000.
He's in the kitchen.
In here, men. Don't move.
We meet again, bonnie Prince Charlie.
Wait a minute. You're not Charles Stuart.
Of course I'm not. I never said I was. All I said was I'm a young pretender.
Well, then who are you?
I'm Charlie Finacopan and Frying Barney.
And on that shattering anticlimax, we end this week's production, thereby avoiding hordes of irate Scotsmen from descending upon the BBC and tearing up their radio licences. Last year's, of course. Well, now, things are never so bad they can't get worse, and here to prove it is England's proud rebuttal to the accusation that we're a nation of second-class boglers. Rambling Sid Rumpel.
Thank you very much, indeed. Very nice introduction, Mr. Horn. Hello, me dearios. This week I have nerdled in my gander bag.
Oh, that's bad luck, isn't it?
And I have come up with an old patriotic air that dates back to the time when the British Nadgers ruled the world.
Good heavens, that's the week before last.
I'm precisely. It is a stirring strain that goes after this fashion, sturdily but with a whiff of grape shot or wintergreen. It's optional.
Here's a grunge unto your artifacts with a fa-la-la-la-la-la and a munch to your digestive tracts with a fa-la-la-la-la-la and those who would not grip their spong, I wish them neither groat nor gong nor yet a splod to hang it on. With a fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, and I think I've botched my cord wangle. Confusion to your whirling fork with a fa-la-la-la-la-la-la, and agonies from rancid pork with a fa-la-la-la-la-la-la, and he who nurks his mule is fine will find no merrier turf than mine. When I'm trundling grussets on the line with a tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, and I know I've bodged my cord wangle. Oh, oh, oh!
Well, thank you, Rambling Sid. I'm sure that in your song you were expressing what we all feel. Acute nausea. Now, quite recently, in fact, as recently as the beginning of this programme, the subject of advertising on the BBC has cropped up again. Now, in general, I think advertising is a jolly good thing. So, when I was approached recently by an agency to make a TV commercial, I agreed. And the following morning, I turned up at their studio in Chelsea, and the sign on the door said, Bona Ads, Commercials for the Trade. Don't knock, enter. So I didn't, and did. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Julian, and this is my friend Sandy.
Oh, hello, Mr. Orr. Oh, lovely. Oh, yes. How bona to Vardy, a dolly old family size new improved eke again. What brings you trolling in here?
I've been sent out by the agency.
You don't surprise me.
What ad are you doing?
Well, it's obviously not air cream.
Oh, I don't know. It could be for that new Raya restorer. Mm. What's it called? Fuzzy Top. You know, before and after.
Before and after, it looks more like instead. No, hold on. That's not Mr. Orne doing that.
Well, I should rather hope not.
Oh, no. Of course it's not him. How silly of me. It's Sir Laurence Olivier.
Sir Laurence? You're a great fool. It's Larry Oliver. Oh. Larry Oliver.
Oh.
Friend of Gordon.
Oh.
Down the slipper bar.
Yes. Just for the moment, I thought we'd made the big time.
Big time, yes. Of course, we're still a struggling concern.
Oh, yes. A two-man band, you might say.
Oh, there's only two of you.
Yes, I do the copy and the struggling, you
yes.
see. And Julie's the layout man.
Yes. Of course, we started as models.
Worked our way up.
Yes.
They have seen some of our work. Jewel was the symbol of inner cleanliness for malpractices, tonic fruit salts.
Yes,
was.
I was.
Did it lovely,
I was.
It did.
Oh, beautifully.
Took its heart lovely.
Yes. I was dressed in a hired cloak and a cloche hat.
Lovely.
No, and I used to stand there with it fizzing in my hand. And I used to say, I am Swifty the tonic fruit salts kid.
Lovely.
lovely.
It was considered quite artistic in its day.
That's true.
Yeah. And what did you do, Sam? He said, reminding the listeners he was still there.
Oh, well, gorgeous. I used to specialise in cigarette adverts. I was never alone in the Strand.
No, he was.
And then whatever the pleasure, I completed it. No, it was lovely. I used to sit on this horse in my polo neck, all butch and dominating. Dominating.
Brilliant character acting it was.
Brilliant, thank you.
Brilliant.
Then I'd take a puff and gallop off.
Oh.
Lovely.
Sheer poetry in motion.
But then come that fateful day.
Fateful day.
Oh,
tell him about it.
I don't like.
Tell him about
it. I don't like.
Go on, purge yourself. Oh, I've been dying to say that for years. Go on, purge yourself.
I don't know.
Go on.
No.
Go on.
Well, sadist. Well, withdrawn. Then come that fateful day. The government made advertising cigarettes illegal. Yes, Mr. Orme, they banned fags from TV.
Oh, it hit him hard, Mr. Orme.
Hit me hard. Oh, my career was finished. I tried to adapt myself. I was the voice of a pork sausage for a bit. I never could get into the part.
Then for a time, he advertised a new girdle that was enriched with marabone jelly.
Yes, but I knew my day as a sex symbol was over.
Over. Over it was. So we decided to team up and open our own little Bijou studio here.
Yes, but what do you actually come here for, Barbface?
A commercial.
Oh, yes, but which one?
Well, I'm not sure.
Jewel, get out your book. Get out your appointments book.
He could be the one where he pongs a bit and his friend says, have a bath, so he does and wins the all-comers quick step.
Right. And he can't be the one who is set in this posh cellar and someone says, Ginger's back in town.
No. No. That was Reynard Lost School.
Cool.
Well, there's only one ad left.
Here, show us.
That one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that can't be Mr. Orme.
It must.
Ah! All right, Mr. Orme, come on, stand here. Hold this basin in your hand.
Yes.
Yes.
Stick this chef's hat on your head.
Chef's hat, yeah. Your words are on this board, you see. Just look in the camera and say them with sincerity. Right, lights.
Well, just like that.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Go on, Sam, you're a trooper.
This should make advertising history.
History, yeah.
Right, roll them. Action.
If you are a cook, there's no need for a book, for this product has nothing but good in. Whether languid or pert, you can't beat this dessert. It's Feldman's Banana Pudding. So, don't forget, look out for my pudding. It's coming your way. Well, cheerio. See you for the last time in the present series next week.
That was Round the Horn, starring Kenneth Horne, with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, and Betty Marsden, and music by the Max Harris Group. The script was by Barry Took, Johnny Mortimer, and Brian Cook, and the producer was John Simmons.